you've got something you need to do, do that quickly tonight. If not, if you would, turn to your Bibles at Hebrews chapter number 12. Book of Hebrews chapter 12. Stand with us when you find that in your King James Bible. And we'll read what the Lord's laid on our heart tonight to preach. The Lord knows when His message needs to be delivered.
Yes, He does.
And if folks wouldn't have obeyed God and I'd have preached this message last week or 2 weeks ago, it might not have went to the person it was intended to go to. It might not have helped the person that might not have been here or might have had something else on their mind. And the Lord's time is always the right time. Amen. That's what Brother Toby said this morning. And I'll just say amen to it. When He does it, we may think He's late, but when He does it, He's right on time when He does it. So if you would, read with us and follow with us here in Hebrews chapter number 12, verses number 1 and 2. We'll read those two verses and then try to deliver to you what the Lord's laid on our heart. The Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." You might be seated tonight. And now this is very familiar text here in the book of Hebrews. Here He's talking about this, saying, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness," He said, "let us lay aside every sin and weight that doth so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us." So with that scripture being in mind, we'd have to say spiritually today, we're running in the race. Whenever you get born again saved, there's a race that is set before us that we're running in. And when we're running this race, the prize is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're going to run toward that prize, we've got to keep our eyes on the prize. Keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ as we're running this race. But here it is. He said, "Let us lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us." So therefore, if we got to lay aside some weight and some sins, that means there's going to be some things that will hinder us from running this race if we don't watch out. There'll be some sins that come in that will cause us not to run the race that's set before us the way we ought to. There'll be some weights that will be set on us that will keep us from running the race like we ought to. Now you take a man that runs, if he runs every day or what have you, if you take and put weights around his ankles, it'll slow him down. He won't be able to run as far, and he won't be able to run as fast. And that's the way it does if we got sin in our life, if we got things, hindrances, weights, and sins in our life as Christians. It'll hinder us from running the race the way we need to. It'll slow us down. It won't let us run as fast as what we ought to. It won't allow us. It will allow us to be hindered in some ways. It will not allow us to accomplish everything God has set forth for us to accomplish. And so as a Christian, we need to take these weights and sins and lay them aside, what the Bible said, and run with patience the race that's set before you. And now speaking of that, I want to try to deliver you this. Some things that hinder in the race. Some things in the race that will hinder us as we're running along spiritually in this race. And you say, "I don't know if I'm running or not." If you've ever been saved, born again, and by the grace of God, you're in this race. Amen. Just like you're in the battle. We're fighting a battle. We're running a race spiritually. And here it is. We got some things that could hinder us in this race. First of all, I'll say in way of introduction, it could be our family that might hinder us. Over there in Luke chapter 9, verse number 59, I believe it is. The family hindered the man from following Jesus. Jesus passed by and said, "Come and follow me." And the man looked and said, "Well, my father's died. I got to go bury him." And Jesus said, "Let the dead bury the dead. Take up your cross and follow me. Don't let your family get in the way of following God tonight." We got to watch out. Those people that's in our family can hinder us more than anybody else. And we got to watch out for those hindrances and lay them aside. Maybe it ain't sin, but it might be a weight that could slow you down in the race. And we cannot let our family hinder us in the race tonight. It could be your friends over in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 10, where they're building the wall over there. Some came and said, "You ain't going to be able to build. We got all these men trying to come in, and they're trying to kill us, and they got war against us. Now these was Nehemiah's friends. It wasn't his enemies telling him this. It was his close buddies building on the wall with him and said, we're not going to be able to build this wall and we ain't going to be able to do it because of the enemy that's trying to attack. And he said, we're going to build it by the grace of God. He set the men up with a sword in one hand and a hammer in the other. Amen. And so built we the wall because the people had a mind to work. But his friend tried to hinder the work there. The friend tried to hinder the building of the wall. Well, it could be your fame. It could be riches that could hinder us tonight. The rich young ruler that came by Jesus and was asking him about being born again. And he told him, go sell all I have and give to the poor. And the man went away sorrowfully because he had great riches. Over in Matthew chapter 19, verse number 22, he went away sorrowful because he had great wealth and great riches. Some folks let their riches, let their wealth stand in between them and God. It can hinder you in the race. Some folks are hindered by their riches and by their fame trying to obtain that, trying to gain that, and they're hindered in the race. Want to work a little more overtime down at the job. Want to work on Sundays. Got to work on Sunday to make a little more money. And then sometimes we run up our credit cards, amen, run up the bills that we can't even afford to pay in the first place. And it hinders us trying to gain things, trying to obtain things, and that can hinder us in the race. I tell you this right now, if you come in tonight and you've got a lot of financial problems, that's probably what's on your mind tonight. It can weigh you down. It can hinder you in the race. You get these riches, you get money and different things like that on your mind. It can hinder you from running the race that's set before you. So we need to lay all these things aside. Don't let these things hinder us. Set them aside and go on with God. Amen. No matter what a brother and sister says, a mother and father, Jesus said, except you would deny mother, father, and all these and take up your cross and follow me, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. Amen. We need to take up our cross and not even be concerned with these things and follow God. And now there are some people today, I believe with all my heart, Brother Toby, that's trying to serve God. They're trying to do right. They're trying to live right. Trying to live a Christian life. But there's always somebody always trying to get in there and mess up God's work. They're trying to do their very best for God, trying to work for Him, but there's always seems to be something or someone that hinders in the race or in the work they're trying to do. Over in Galatians 5 and 7, says you did run well, but who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? And so that imparts that somebody had hindered in the race. These men had come by, and I can't spend much time describing you what this verse really means, but people come by preaching another doctrine over there in Galatians about circumcision and uncircumcision, preaching on a salvation through the flesh. And Paul here was talking to him, said, you did run well, but you let somebody hinder you in the race. But here it is, that sometimes we're running along and we're trying to do our best and we're trying to do things for God, but it seems like something or someone always jumps up in the way and hinders us from doing what God would have us to do.
Amen.
You did run well. That means he was running. You was right on course. But something caused you to stumble. Something caused you to slow down.
Right.
Some weight, some sin had hindered you in the race.
Amen.
Well, there are some weights and there are some sins that can beset us in this race run tonight. First of all, I'll say society can hinder and be a weight that could beset us in the race we're running in. Society can hinder in the race tonight. Society's ideas will always go against God's.
Right.
Whatever society says, you can bank on it. That is wrong. Amen. If society says it's right, it's probably wrong. That's what the Bible said. They would say they'd call good evil and evil good.
Right.
And that's what society's doing today. Society is filling people's minds with this Hollywood garbage and trying to teach our children that there's no God. They try to teach them and indoctrinate them with different beliefs, with different doctrines. They try to do it through the movies, the picture shows, and things. They try to do it through the songs that are sung in this society we're living in. They try to hinder our children in the attire that they have to wear. I mean, God forbid you go trying to shop for a decent apparel this day we're living in. It's nearly impossible to find anything that's decent that'll cover somebody up. And that's society to blame for that. They're trying to pull our kids away. They're trying to pull us away. Everything society does will go against what God wants. Amen. But what society's trying to teach, that there's no God. And society will try to teach us that there's no heaven and there's no hell. They try to say you ain't got to worry about that. And the Bible's wrong. The Bible's not right. Amen. There ain't no heaven and there's no hell. It don't matter. You can live like you want and there won't be any payment for sin. You won't have to worry about that. But let me tell you something. This Bible teaches us that there is a God and there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. No matter what society says, it's either turn or burn. Amen. Get right or get left. Amen. Repent or perish. And that's the truth of it. Well, society tries to show the high life. They try to tell you to live it up. Amen. They try to show you the good side of the sign. They tell everybody to go sow their wild oats while they're young. You got plenty of time to live. Let me tell you, society is always wrong. Amen. That's not right. We're not guaranteed another day. You better watch how you live. There's a consequence for your sins. Amen. They try to tell us. Society will try to tell you, don't worry about that, son. Ain't no payment for that sin. You ain't got to worry about that. God's not going to judge you. God's a God of love. He ain't going to hurt you. He ain't going to send you to hell. He ain't going to judge you for those sins. But let me tell you, there is a payment for sins. Amen. There's a payday someday for all the works we've done. Amen. Whether they be good or whether they be evil. And the Bible says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments. For God shall bring every work into judgment. Every idle word spoken. Everything, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God's going to bring into judgment one day. He's going to judge our works. Whether they be good or whether they be bad. And so there is a payment for the sin that we do down in this life. Well, the society will try to give you an excuse tonight to stay out of church. They try to play that Super Bowl. Amen. They'll put that Super Bowl on Sunday every time. Trying to pull people away from church. Well, these religious folks got it figured out, don't they? They bring the Super Bowl to the church nowadays, eh? And that's right, amen. But they still don't have no worship, amen. Well, society, they always try to plan things for Sunday events, amen. They always got their sports games on the weekends. They always have their softball tournaments on the weekends, on Saturday and Sunday. And it keeps people out of the house of God. And that's society trying to pull us down, trying to hinder us in the race. I got a boss I work with, and they play those tournament softball games, and it's nearly impossible for me to get him to come to church. If I go and ask him, he's always got an excuse. Well, we're playing a softball tournament this weekend. They always play it on the weekends. And that's what society will do. Society will draw us into that, and it'll keep you out of the house of God. Well, they'll do it through Super Bowl. They'll do it through sports. Amen. Well, society will do it through sickness. Society nowadays has come up with so many diseases that ain't never even been around before. They just come up with something off the wall. These people just stand around thinking things up and got people paying to back them up on thinking more things up. Amen. And they come up with all these diseases. And everybody you talk to nowadays got something. I got ADD. I got ADHD. I got this aggressive disorder. I can't help it. I just fly off the handle. I mean, they got all these different things that they try to pump into our lives this day that we're living in. And they try to draw us and keep us out of the house of God. A lot of times, though, we'll take that. We'll take what society says and we'll run with it. Well, preacher, I had a headache the other day and I just couldn't make it to church. Well, God forbid, you ought to come on anyway, amen. The devil will give you that excuse, and if you will take it, he'll give it to you again, amen. As long as you'll take the bait that he's giving you, he'll keep on feeding you, amen. And he'll make it easier and easier as the days go by to stay out of the house of God. Well, society will try to give you excuses to stay out of church, amen. Look at all the hobbies people's got today, keeping them out of the house of God. Hobbies that people have keep them out of the house of God. Well, society will also make you too busy to live for God. Amen. They pile on more and more duties every day that we got to do. I mean, my work and your work's probably the same. It seems like every day I go in, I got something else I got to do. And they keep on piling stuff on. And it makes it hard to live for God for all the duties that you have to do because of a thing society has done in this day we're living in. Well, society will hinder in the race. I'll say slackness tonight will hinder in the race. When a church member gets slack, it'll always hinder the work of God, but not His will, amen. It'll hinder His work, but it won't hinder His will. God's will always be done. If you don't want to do it, that's fine. He'll go find somebody that will, amen. He tell you to stand up and testify Sunday after Sunday, and you just keep your seat. Don't worry, He'll find somebody else that'll testify for Him. He comes by and tells you to shout. shout. And you say, Lord, I've been wanting to shout. I just wish I could shout so bad. And the Lord comes by and tells you to shout. Sunday after Sunday, and you keep your seat. Don't worry, he'll go somewhere else. There'll be somebody else that'll do it for him. Lord, you hear what I'm saying? Understand what I'm saying? It can hinder God's work, but it will not hinder God's will. God's will always be done. He'll carry out his will whether I do it or whether I don't. He'll find somebody that will. Amen. But slackness can hinder us in the race that we're running today. It can hinder us being slack in reading and studying. Amen. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We ought to be found studying and reading the word of God today. We have the privilege to have in our hands a copy of the word of God. Amen. And I believe it's the inspired word of God. Amen. And according to that book, it says, if you read out, it says over in Psalms and a bunch of other places, God will preserve His word. He's made that promise. And if this ain't God's inspired word, show me what it is. Amen. But I believe that's it. I believe that's God's word. And we have that privilege. And God's not going to smile or wink on ignorance anymore. We have no excuse. We have the Bible. We ought to be found reading and studying the word of God. Don't be slack. Don't be lazy on God. Amen. You always do what you want to do, right? You ought to at least take time to do what God's bid us to do. He said we should do. It's a commandment of God. Study to show thyself approved. Amen. We ought to be reading and studying the word of God. Well, we get slack in our prayer life. We always seem to think about everything else except for praying. Amen. We always forget about that. Amen. We ought to remember God. We ought to commune with Him. We ought to talk with Him. We ought to pray. Amen. The Bible says pray always. Amen. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. We ought to pray to God. We ought to have a conversation. If you and your family, you take somebody that you love dearly, if you never talk to them, that love's going to separate. Amen. And that's the way it is with the Lord. If you don't talk with Him, if you don't pray and communicate with Him, that love that you once had will begin to separate. And so you got to watch and pray. Amen. Pray to the Lord. Well, some folks get slack in worship. They come in, sit on their stool to do nothing. Amen. They don't want to sing. They don't want to testify. They don't want to come up in the choir. They don't want to do what God bids them to. Amen. They get slack in their worship. Well, I'll say tonight the slackness will bring about some things. It'll bring about lack of interest in reading and serving God. Amen. It'll bring about lack of interest in witnessing, a lack of desire. It'll bring about a lack of desire to attend church and to live holy. Amen. It'll bring about a lack of concern about other people, about the lost sinner folks are dying and going to hell. It'll bring about a lack of concern about your church tonight. If you get slack on God, do not get slack. Amen. You got to keep running this race. We're on this race to run. Amen. And now we're running this race like a torch race. Amen. It ain't who finishes first wins. It's who finishes with his torch still lit. Amen. And so all you got to do is run on, children. Amen. Looking toward the prize. Don't get slack on God. Don't sit down on God. What would it have been? How would we be today if God would have got slack on his what he was supposed to do, on what he was bidden to do? If he had got slack when he come down here, where would we be today? But yet here it is that we have the opportunity and we have the privilege to live for him, but yet we don't even take it. We get slack on God. We get sorry and unconcerned about the things of God. Amen. Help us, God, not to get slack. Don't want to get in that state. Over there when they told the children of Israel coming through there, they said, sing unto us those songs of Zion. They said, how can we sing the songs of Zion in a strange land? Yeah. Folks, don't ever think you're in a strange land. Yeah, we're in a strange land passing through, but we can still sing the songs of Zion. Amen. Yeah. Don't get slack on God. Don't hang your hearts in the willow tree. Don't give up on God. Just keep on and keep it on. Amen. Don't get slack. Well, thirdly tonight, and one of the biggest ones, I guess, is self. Amen. Can hinder in the race. It can be a weight. It can be a sin that can hinder us in the race that we're running in. Ourself, when we get in the way, when we get in the way of God, it falls apart every time. Amen. If we try to do it ourselves, if we try to take it upon our own selves, you can go ahead and bank on it. It's going to fall apart. Amen. We need to let go and let God. Amen. We need to let Him take control. Get ourselves out. by the way, I believe I may be wrong about this, but I believe over there where it's talking about the son that went astray, over there the prodigal son, whenever he came back, I believe the other son kind of got a little self-glorified in himself whenever he told the father. He looked at him and said, look, he took all those riches, he took all those and blew them. I stayed here, and now you're not doing nothing for me. He said, I stayed here, I supported you, I lived right, I didn't leave, I did this. And he was pointing to himself of all the good that he's done. But I want you to know tonight that I've not done anything good inside myself save the Lord Jesus Christ, him crucified, amen. That's the only thing we need to glorify, not ourselves, but him, amen. Well, folks today are more concerned about number one than they are anything else, amen. Nor more concerned about their self than anything else. They want to make sure they please their self. They want to make sure that they eat at the right time. I got to make sure we have everything to drink when we're thirsty. I got to make sure that we're satisfied, satisfy this flesh, and we're not concerned about living for God and serving Him and satisfying Him. We'd rather satisfy our flesh than the Lord. We got to watch it. Don't let ourselves hinder us in this race that we're running in. A lot of folks are more concerned about living for ourselves rather than living for God. They'd rather do their recreation things. They'd rather go fishing. They'd rather go hunting. Amen. I'd rather go out there to the golf course and hit a golf ball. They'd rather sleep. Some folks, amen. Some folks even do it in the house of God. Oh, God forbid. Well, here it is. If folks are more concerned about themselves instead of reading and studying when we ought to, instead of praying when we ought to, we'd rather fill that spot with recreation things. We'd rather sleep. We'd rather shop. Play games, amen. A lot of folks rather get on the computer and play them games and look on things that they ought not to even be looking at anyway. Amen. You ought to get your flesh out of the way. You ought to crucify your flesh, amen. You ought to not be looking towards yourself tonight, but look toward God. Now, one of the most important ones here, one of the ones I'm most guilty of probably here myself getting in the way is with work, amen. With work that I've got going on. I ain't talking about God's work now. I'm talking about self. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me. Now, I let work get in my way sometimes. I have a lot of stuff to do. And sometimes when I'm at work, I let work get in my way of living for God. And sometimes when I'm at home, I let work get in my way for living for God. But we ought not to be concerned about ourselves. We need to look toward God. We need to lose sight of ourselves. Amen. Everything we do down here, one day it's going to be burned up. Only thing that's going to come through is those things we've done for God. And we need to have our focus in the right place tonight. A lot of folks are more concerned about the here and now than what they are the hereafter, amen. Trying to see what they can obtain down here. Trying to see how they can satisfy themselves down here. Longing to satisfy that flesh. And there's nothing wrong with doing recreation things. Don't want to get me wrong tonight. Nothing wrong with doing these other things and working and all this other stuff. But if you let it come between you and God, you've gone the wrong route, amen. You got a little God in your life and you need to get rid of that. We need to be more concerned about the life hereafter. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also.
Right.
Lay up treasures in heaven,
yes,
where
sir.
Moth and dust cannot corrupt and thieves
that's
cannot
right.
break through and steal.
That's
a lot
right.
of folks down here, they've got so much gain that they've got, and they're so scared, so worried all the time about somebody taking it from them.
Yeah.
Yeah, amen. Well, lay it up in heaven where nobody can get to it. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we come to church and we have church here one time a week, sometimes revival time, but yet we still always say we're too busy to go to church. And you got 6 days to do everything else you need to do. On Sunday, that's God's day. We ought to devote that day to Him.
Amen.
You better quit looking at yourself and start looking toward the Lord.
Amen.
If you don't, you can hinder, and you will be a hindrance to this church
right.
and to everyone around you.
That's right.
Whenever somebody starts looking toward themselves and more concerned about themselves and what they can get, people that's around them start getting that same attitude, amen. If you notice, I don't know if y'all notice or not, but whenever Brother Toby comes in, whatever mindset he's in, that's what the people, they may not be that way when they come in, but as they hang around for a little while, they tend to come to that same mindset that he is about worshiping God, amen. Well, that's the way it is about anything today. If he was to come in all stove up with his head hung low, everybody in the church would be all stove up with their head hung low after a little while. And that's just the way it is. That's why when you're the man of God, you just got to come in and grin and bear it anyway. And you're going to look like you're fine. Amen. But it works that way in every situation. And so whatever attitude people that look up to you, whatever attitude you have is what kind of attitude they're going to start to have. And so if Brother John was having the attitude, well, look and see what I'm going to get. I'm going to try to do this. I'm going to try to make this much money. Here's the plan I got. I'm going to do all this stuff. Then everybody around him that looks up to him is going to start trying to go that same route. And you got to watch that. That's a way to do spiritually too. If you get away from God, start creeping away from him, get more concerned about worldly things, those folks that hang around you, those folks that love you and look up to you will start going that same direction. And so we got to be careful that we don't become a hindrance of being focused on ourselves, but we got to focus our attention on the Lord.
Amen.
Keep your eyes on the prize tonight. You got to keep your eyes on the Lord when running this race. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I stole this from Brother Toby, but he won't mind if I use it. We ought to keep our perspective in the right order. Amen. Me tonight, I'm not a service manager at Georgia Underground that just happens to be a preacher and a saved, born-again Christian. I'm a preacher that just so happens to work at Georgia Underground.
Yeah.
Amen. That's the perspective we need to have. No matter what you do, you're to be a Christian first. You're to be a child of God first.
Amen.
And all the other things should follow in behind.
Amen.
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 That's the way it should be. Well, lastly tonight, we got hindrances in the way. Society can hinder. Slackness can hinder. Ourself can hinder. Tonight, Satan can hinder.
Yes, he
and the race we're running in.
Amen.
He will always be a hindrance in a child of God's life. If you're living right, if you're doing right, Satan's going to want to hinder you. Satan's going to want to throw some stones in your way.
Yep.
Satan's going to want to throw some hurdles around in that track that you're running on, so you'll have to jump over them. Now let me say this about a hindrance. As you're running along, you got to watch how you dress. You got to watch how you're fitted. A good runner always has the right attire on. And now the one man said that it ain't the mountain that stopped the guy from climbing. It was a pebble in his shoe. It's the little things that hinder us from running this race. And so what do you think Satan's going to do? Satan ain't coming to you with big things. Satan's going to come to you a little bit at a time. He's going to bring those little pebbles and try to stick in your shoe while you're trying to run this race tonight. Amen. You got to watch Satan. He'll creep in unaware. Amen. He came and he got Eve over there in the Garden of Eden, and he tricked her with smooth words. And every man that's out telling you a lie today is always somebody that's real smooth. Always real convincing.
Yes, sir.
Seems to be real humble in his speech. Amen. We was talking about Bright Wright this morning in the Sunday school. We was talking about that. Now, I told him I heard him on the radio the other day, and he quoted some scripture. Now, I want you to know, Bright Wright, I don't know if he's even born again, but I know he carries a funny Bible. Amen. But he's a real smooth talker, and he sounds like he's real concerned about everything. But let me tell you something. He carries a funny Bible, and he's teaching the wrong doctrine. He read a verse over there where Moses was telling Joshua, be of good courage, be of good cheer. And he went along to say that if you'll do that, you'll be a great success. And read it through his... Whatever Bible he was reading, whatever book he was reading, said you'll obtain great success in this. And then he goes along to say in his words, if you'll just follow God, if you'll just trust God, you will be successful. I opened up my Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 31, read down there in that verse, and nowhere in that verse it say I was going to be successful for living for God. Be strong, be of a good courage. Didn't say I was going to have success. Let me tell you right now, the devil's a smooth talker. And anybody that's trying to deceive is a smooth talker.
Right.
And they'll use that humble spirit. They'll use that humbleness to try to deceive you and try to hinder you from running the race. And now let me tell you something. If you think that you're going to run this race and there's not going to be anything coming your way, you're sadly mistaken.
Right.
Now, my success lies on the other side. Amen. The things I do for God lies over there. I will have success one day, but you might not have success living down here in this life. How many people's come by and bought you a brand new car and brought you all this money? Name it, claim it, crowd. If you live for God, God's going to bless you beyond compare. That ain't how it works. That ain't how it works. You got to watch these smooth talkers that try to deceive. And that's the way the devil will do. He'll come in. He'll creep in unaware. You'll think it's somebody trying to help you. You'll think it's somebody trying to tell you something that could help you and encourage you in your life. But you got to watch out. Sometimes they're deceiving. Amen.
Amen.
And the Bible says if any man come preaching any of the gospel that we've declared unto you, whether he's angel or not, no matter who it is, let him be accursed.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Satan will try to hinder, and he'll do it smoothly. He'll do it slowly. Well, let me tell you what Satan does today. Satan tries to tear down anything good that God has built.
That's right.
Whenever God births a child and births somebody in the family of God, then comes Satan. Satan will then come and attack them. He'll try to tear them down, tell them they ain't nothing to their salvation. What they got ain't real. He'll try to pull them away, and that's what Satan will do. Satan will try to hinder us. And anything you try to do for God, go ahead and bank on it. You can take her to the bank tonight. Satan's going to be there to try to hinder you. He's going to try to tear down everything good that God has built. Don't you know Satan's just longing? And what to God he could tear down truth. A Baptist church tonight, amen. He would have God, he could tear down this church tonight because God's built something good here and God's work's going forth, and Satan will love nothing more but to tear down this church.
Amen.
Any church that's trying to stand for God, any Christian trying to stand for God, tonight Satan's going to try to tear you down.
You're right. Sure.
Now, if Satan's not bothering you, that bothers me.
That's right.
Amen. If he ain't a bothering you, that bothers me. Because if you're trying to do God's work, Satan's going to be bothering you.
Sure, right.
Amen. That's the way it always works, always has, and always will.
Yes,
God hadn't changed his way, and neither has Satan. Satan's still trying to work the same way he always has. He'll try to tear down anything good that God's built. He'll try to destroy anything that you try to do for God.
Sure.
Oh, Paul said, every time I try to do good, evil's present with me.
Right.
He said, every time I try to do good, I'm trying to do right, I'm trying to do something good, it's just evil's present with me, nothing goes right. And every time you try to do something for God, Satan's going to be there trying to destroy the work you're trying to do. And it seems like every time we try to testify to people down there at work, there's always somebody that comes by and just destroys everything that we're trying to do.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's the way it works.
Right.
You try to witness to somebody, you try to tell them about God, try to tell them about the Lord, how He loves them, how He died for them, rose again. There's always some skeptic over there, some critic going to come along, how you know your God's even real. And they just try to tear down everything that you try to tell somebody.
God,
and that's what Satan will do. Satan's sending these people in.
Yes,
Satan's
sir.
Got his workers, amen.
Yes, he does.
Well, tonight Satan can hinder in the race. What Satan really wants to do tonight is instill doubt in people's minds.
You're right.
If he can instill doubt in your mind, he can hinder you in the race you're running in.
Yes, sir.
Unbelief can hinder a child of God tonight. It was unbelief that hindered Christ over when he's trying to do his work in Nazareth. Matthew 13:58, when he came in trying to do these things, he said, no man's worthy in his own country, no man's accepted in his own country. He said, because of your unbelief,
that's
he could
right.
not perform miracles
right.
over there. And that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to set up that unbelief so the Lord cannot work his work in us. If he could do that and draw us away, then he would be happy. That's all he wants. That's what he desires to do tonight, is just make us doubt, instill in us unbelief.
Amen.
Because where unbelief is, that's where the Lord can't work. It hindered the work over in Nazareth, and it can hinder the work in this church if we have unbelief. Well, over in 2 Timothy 4:7-8, talking about the race, you know, we're on the home stretch. He said, I run my race, I kept the faith, I finished my course. And then he goes on to the prize that's won. Henceforth, laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Amen.
Hey.
All those that have run, all those that have finished the race, has a crown of righteousness waiting for us. If we just run on, children, and there's going to be a payday someday for the things we do.
Yes.
In conclusion tonight, as they get a song ready, we always will be faced with something or someone that will try to get us off track in this race we're running in.
You're right.
But let me encourage you that you must be ready to fight the good fight of faith. We got to fight against the wiles of the devil. We got to fight against the fiery darts that he shoots at us. Don't give up today. You might just win the war tomorrow. The battle might seem hard, the battle might seem tough, but don't give up the battle. You might win the war tomorrow. Ephesians 6:13-14 talks about having on the whole armor of God. It says, talking about when you've done all that you could do to stand, just to stand, therefore.
Yeah.
As Christians, as we're running this race, whenever the battle gets hard, whenever it gets to where it seems like we can't run on anymore, if we'll just stand, take a stand, put on the armor of God that we can fight against the wiles of the devil. Then we can stand and we can run the race. We can finish our course in this day we're living in. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Don't get in a hurry about this thing is what he's saying. He said, you just need to lay aside all these things. You need to lay aside all these sins, all these weights, anything that could hinder you, and run with patience the race that is set before you. How are we going to run this race? We can't do it of our own self. We can't run this race. We can't fight. We can't fight society by ourselves. The Bible says we're not fighting against flesh and blood, against powers, principalities, and all these things in dark places, all the rulers of darkness. We're fighting against things we can't even see sometimes, Brother John. Well, how are we going to fight these things? How are we going to finish this? It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. For the joy was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Right hand of the throne of God. Look unto Jesus. He was the beginner of our faith, and He'll be the finisher of our faith. And when you start the race, you start by starting in the faith through the Lord Jesus Christ, being saved by grace through faith. Amen. And when you begin that, He's the author, He's the beginner of our faith, and He will be the finisher of our faith.
Right.
And looking toward Him tonight, I told you, keep your eyes on the prize, keep your eyes on the Lord. If we'll look toward Him while we're running this race, we will not veer off track. So keep your eyes on the Lord tonight. Y'all come with a song. Stand with us as we're singing.
Page 361.
God bless tonight. Help over.
Thank you, Lord.
Understand, this is a message that probably employs us to do something, employs us to work, to run on, keep on running. A lot of folks get weary and well-doing, and they try to sit down, and you get tired from running, but we need to encourage one another with these things. We need to run on. We need to keep on running for the cause of Christ tonight. We can't sit down. There's no room to sit down. If we were to sit down tonight, Brother Toby, what would happen to our children? Amen. What would happen to theirs? What kind of a shape would we be in tonight if we were to sit down? But we got to keep on running for God. Now tonight, a lot of this stuff's very familiar. I know you understand these things, but I was trying to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance on some of these things. Sometimes we get slack. Sometimes we get lazy. Sometimes we drift away from this. Our mindset begins to change, but we need to get back on track. There's a lot of times we start to veer, and that's when the man of God gets up and preaches and brings us back on track. And if we'll stay on track, amen, they say the quickest point from point A to point B is a straight line. And so if you run in a straight line, we'll get there quicker than if we veer off track, amen. And so we need to run on, people. Run on, child of God. Keep running in the fight. Keep running in the battle, amen. Even when it gets hard and even when you get tired of running, just run on. He'll give us strength, amen. He'll help us run and not be weary. He'll help us walk and not faint, amen. I thank God He'll mount us up on those wings as eagles, amen.
Well,
that's what I got tonight. If you want to sing one more, go ahead, brother.
God compares life to a race, to a fight, to a journey, to a battle, to a pilgrimage, and in all cases, the least little things are the things that will wind up hindering us if we're not careful.
That's right.
And I want to be found faithful to do what I ought to do. Thought about tonight how it seemed like every area of what preaching's about is what he covered. To preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and with doctrine.
Yes, sir.
And we got all four elements of it, the reproof, rebuke, the exhort, and the doctrine in this message tonight. That's fine preaching.
Amen.
I don't care if you go long and far, go hear Dr. Smilefungus and send Brother Smarty Pants. Doesn't matter who it is you find up the road or down the road, you won't hear much better preaching than what you heard here tonight.
Amen.
I mean, that is fine preaching. We thank God for it. I guess you could tell 3 weeks worth of preaching is built up on it. And it's good preaching tonight. I thank God for it.
Amen.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm gonna stay up here, and I'm going to let Brother Matthew go to the door tonight. You shake his hand. You tell him how much you enjoyed his message. I wasn't the preacher to preach tonight. He was. You tell him you appreciate it. And to thank God for the man of God that preached to our families. And I appreciate so much all that has been done in this meeting.